Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. You know, last week, Keith came to the end of his message and he asked a question. The question that he put on the screen was, what is it that is stopping you, stopping I, from following Jesus? That was the question he left for people to reflect on. I guess there's another way of asking that question as well. The other way of asking that question is, what are some of the things that might be getting in the way at the moment in our journey, in our walk with the Lord, that might be hindering or constraining us from actually walking as fully as we could? Another way of putting the question might be to say, have we all in this room today decided to follow Jesus? And the message today is the call to discipleship. And we're going to be thinking about this message. It's a series that's been decided and we're following it through as a church here. And the call to discipleship is so important for us to consider. The passage that we looked at, of course, begins very much in the historic setting of Galilee. Jesus sees the fishermen next to the lake, and his call is, follow me, follow me. And, you know, very often when we think about what discipleship is, it's a call to follow. It's a call to follow a living Lord. And as Christians, as part of the Christian message, we believe it's the resurrected Lord. And that Jesus is still at work, and I believe present here today with all of us, Jesus is at work through his Spirit. And in a special sense, especially in Luke's Gospel, in the book of Acts, the Spirit is spoken of as the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit sent from the Father, or the Spirit of God. In other words, the call to follow is based on a real presence of Jesus. You know, Jesus was present with those disciples on that day. And I don't know, I think about that and I think, wow, you know, what was that day like? It was an ordinary day, actually. Just another day in the rounds of the fishermen's lives. A normal, ordinary day. But something extraordinary began. It was out of the ordinary. And the out of the ordinary happened in the ordinary rounds of life. And I want to start by asking each of us today, you've come here today, the Lord is at work in our lives in different ways. Even if we're thinking at this stage about even giving our lives to Jesus, or maybe there are some here today that really as yet haven't experienced the presence of Christ fully and given their lives over wholly. I don't know. But the question for us today is, how are you hearing the call? How are you hearing the call? Because the call goes much more deeply than simply following somebody that were watching ahead. I mean, the disciples saw Jesus. They literally followed the Jesus that we could see. They could see the really present Jesus. And this Jesus, who they were following, didn't come with lots of theology as such. But he called them to follow and to learn from what they observed and heard him teach. And you know, the gospel itself, or the call to discipleship, is based on a Christ who can really be followed. A Christ who we read about in Scripture, yes, the Gospels, but also the living Jesus. And I've often thought to myself, what makes the Word of God powerful is the Spirit of Christ. It's the living Christ. And so the disciples, when they heard the call, especially as we read John's Gospel, we realize also there was something much deeper in their hearts that responded. Because it was something also at a deeper level that called to something deeper than them in themselves, which was a call to follow because God's Spirit was also at work in their hearts, prompting them, calling them, and encouraging them to respond. And this is well illustrated because, you know, following Christ, the call to discipleship is to follow the real living Lord. The Lord is with us today. I suspect as we look at our own life experiences, as you look possibly at your interior self, your interior being, your deeper self, you'll also be able to identify in yourselves some of the ways in which God is calling to that deeper part of you. Not just to the surface level, but to the deeper part of yourself. And I believe that when the disciples followed, there was something deeper being reached, a deeper call. And what I want to think about today particularly is that God speaks to the heart. That is a common theme throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible, the emphasis is not on the mind per se in the first place. The emphasis is on the heart. In the Hebrew, it's called the hubbub. Well, it sounds a bit strange what a hubbub is going on, but it's a hubbub or a hubbub. New Testament, it's cardia. But what that really means is that central deep place that God wants to reach into. The call to discipleship is to the deeper us, where God wants to transform the deeper us, you and me. And so this is the call. If we go to the book of Hebrews for a moment. So I invite you to come with me to the book of Hebrews. And if we look at chapter 3, and verses 7 and 8, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the call of God, the call of God to Israel in this particular case. And he shares from the Old Testament these words, verses 7 and 8, chapter 3 of Hebrews. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. Today, if you hear his voice. And here's the great news. Today. You know, it's always today with the Lord, as long as today lasts. And that's what the writer to Hebrews is actually saying. Today, here today, if we hear his voice, the voice of God that speaks into the immediate context of our hearts. Because each of us here today come with different stories. We come with things that we are quite probably struggling with. We're coming with questions. We might come with struggles from work. We come with joys. We come from some of the joy of maybe seeing our children responding to God. We come with some, we might come here today with anxiety. We might be in a place where we're depressed. We might be in a place where we feel encouraged. A principle about hearing the voice of God today is that God starts where we are. God starts where we are today, and that is what the call to discipleship is. The Lord doesn't start somewhere where we're not. But even today, even if you've been following the Lord for years, the Lord does not start with where we were 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago. The Lord starts where we are today. And he starts with what is really on our hearts. He starts with where our questions might be, which is more to do with our minds. But what the Lord is seeking for in this, and this has been an experience of my journey, I'm wondering what yours might be, an experience of my journey of following Jesus over the past 32 years, is I have discovered again and again that the Lord connects with me in my present context. He's not looking for a future me. He's looking for where. And this is also a question of where each of us are. And my question to you today would be, in your context, in your journey, with the things that you feel, and the things that you are experiencing, if you're not sure how the Lord is reaching into that with you right now, I can say, then ask him to show you. And I believe the Holy Spirit will do that for us today. God can do that because he wants to start where our hearts are. You know, I think over the years, sometimes there has been a danger within the church. And I'm talking broadly. And that is that we've made God into our interpretation of the Bible. We've made God into our ideas and our doctrines. And I'm not saying that's wrong, if you see what I mean. I'm saying that there are important things that God wants us to hold in common, and I believe that's important for the church. But the problem comes from our hearts, because the Lord speaks to the heart and also wants to speak to our minds, but the heart is where it begins. And Jesus gave that incredible saying where he said, out of the heart comes the issues of life. It's out of our hearts, and they are what need transforming. Jenny and I were at our niece's wedding yesterday, and the scripture that was shared was for the couple came from Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, where it said, a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and it, the spirit, will cause you to walk in my ways. And that's at the foundation of the call to discipleship. That not only do we hear the call, but then it's a question of, do I want to open my heart as I receive that call to follow Jesus? Do I want to open my heart to start living in a deeper relationship with Christ? Not just a surface level of what I want to think I believe, but at a deeper level of saying, of having a relationship that goes deeper, some degree of intimacy. And that is a family thing. Because Christ, in the way that he sought to shape his disciples, was about becoming part of the family of God in a deeper sense. Going deeper. Going deeper. We're called into a family, and I love the way that we looked at 1 Corinthians 13. I think it was Joe that put those words up there. Love or God, who is the embodiment of this great love that he has. Faithfulness when we're unfaithful. steadfastness when we're not steadfast. All of these things. That the love which he has calls us to go deeper. And it will make an impact on us. Keith said last week, you can't really follow Jesus without it making also an emotional impact on us. And that's true, because God goes to the deep seat of what is the spiritual deeper self, which also includes emotion. There's an emotional intelligence to following Jesus. But it also means that we need to be able to learn to follow Jesus on this deeper hearted level. Today, says the Holy Spirit, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The disciples responded. They responded and they started following. But they were following a really present Jesus. You know, the Spirit was at work in Jesus' ministry. We know that. They were following a Jesus who is really present by His Spirit. And as such, we need to start to develop, and I'm not saying that folks here haven't, but I'm speaking to myself as much as anyone else. I need to go deeper. I need to follow more fully out of a deeper relationship with Jesus. We need to go deeper. We need to hear the voice and to be transformed within, following Jesus. So, the principle I first of all thought about here, the call to discipleship. The call to discipleship is a call to follow the real living Jesus. And He's at work in our lives, and we can respond to go deeper or to follow for the first time. But it will be a journey. Discipleship has too often been separated from the gospel. We've been talking about this recently. There's been a very needs-based gospel preached often, which is about wearing a badge and saying, I'm saved, I'm okay now. But actually, if you look at what discipleship is, or what the relationship of conversion to following, it's an ongoing conversion. I've spoken to some friends who said, I've been through quite a lot of conversions. I think what they're really meaning is that as I or we keep following, we keep on realizing that we need to go deeper. There is more yet to give over to the Lord. The Lord doesn't just change us overnight, but we're transformed on a journey, in other words. So, the Apostle Paul, a writer in the New Testament, an important writer for those of you who may not know that, received a call. He actually personally, as far as we know, never saw Jesus. He never met Jesus in terms of his pre-resurrection life. He'd certainly heard about him. I'm sure that there was some knowledge he had. But if in the book of Galatians, one of the letters that he actually wrote to a church in Galatia, he had something important to say about the basis to his following, to his coming to Christ, to knowing Christ. And so let's have a look. I just want to read a few verses out of Galatians here, because this is a first-hand account of somebody who met Jesus but didn't meet him in the flesh, so to speak, during his earthly ministry, but met the resurrected Jesus and responded. And this is his account. So I love personal first-hand accounts. And here we have a personal first-hand account. So Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, which is somewhere, I think, in modern Iran today. I think that's roughly where it would be. I could have that wrong, but I think it is. And if we look at chapter 1, verses 13 downwards to verse 17, there's something quite important here. Paul says, you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism. Because he was an important Jewish leader. He was part of what they called the Pharisee Party. That made him an important religious leader within the Jewish community. So he says, you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me, or to me — there are two possible translations of the particular text there — in me, or to me, within me, or to me. To reveal His Son in me and to me, so that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, any human being. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Actually, went away there for 3 years and didn't go meet with the apostles. The revelation of Christ to Paul, and we can read the story in also the book of Acts that tells the story of what happened there, it was that Jesus came and revealed himself to Paul, and Paul started following. Paul started the journey. Paul heard the voice of Jesus call, come follow me. But with the call for Paul to follow at the time, there was also something he was sent to do. Because you know, a call to discipleship comes with ascending as well. There's a calling and ascending. And he was sent to be the apostle, the sent one, because that's what an apostle means, somebody who is sent. He was called to be a sent one, to proclaim the gospels, especially to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish population of the Roman Empire. And Paul does that because of revelation. Something that goes deeper than the surface. Because up to that point, he was persecuting and was instrumental also in Christians being killed. He's completely turned around. His heart is convinced. And that transformation that takes place means that he really decides to follow. He really decides to follow. And to go deeper as well. And I think that Paul, just like any of us, this follower of Jesus who was sent, then started on a journey where he was guided in that journey. And we can read about some of those stories about how he was guided. And we can learn how we might be guided too. We'll come back to that in a moment. I was wanting to share at this point something about my own journey. And I want to share it after I've been a Christian for 15 years. I really feel that, you know, in my journey, like many of us, maybe all of us here today, you go through ups and downs in your journey, don't you? It's not all constant. We're not perfect. The only one that is perfect is the Lord. And the Lord Jesus, he is the person of the gospel. He is the good news. You know, Jesus is the good news. And Jesus wants us, therefore, to keep sharp in following. And to keep sharp in following, it means that he needs to keep contact with what's going on in here. Not just what's going on in here. And we live in a society sometimes that's either all head, for some, or all heart. But Jesus wants to join the two together. So that in our Christian journey, as we follow him out of love for him and his heart, as he reveals himself to us in our deeper selves through his spirit, he also wants to transform our minds. There's a joining together that he wants to do. Well, my story, I'd been in following Christ for about 15 years. And this was in I was thinking this morning on the way over, when was it? Was it 1994 or 1995? I think it was 1995. When I came to Christ, the day that actually Christ came into my heart, that same day I received a sending. I received a call and I responded. And I said, Lord, will you come in? And there was something really that happened inside me. It was actually, there was one moment when that happened to me that because I wasn't brought up in a Christian family. I didn't quite know what asking Jesus or God to show himself to me might be in order to, so I might know him. But I remember the moment I did. I didn't do it in an evangelistic service. I didn't do it with lots of music playing and an altar call and came up to the front or anything like that. I was actually walking in the woods at the time and I said, Lord, you know, I said, if you're real, will you show yourself to me? Because I just don't know. I felt I needed to know. And I can tell you, I said, but I feel you sort of need to give me permission. You need me to give you permission, sorry. Because I just felt that. I didn't have any. So I said, I want to give you permission if you need it. You're God. And if you're real, you don't need my permission. But somehow, it felt to me like that's what you're saying. If you want, you've got to ask. Ask. And when I did that, suddenly I found myself filled with the presence of God. I didn't quite call it that back then. And I knew that God was real, because I knew I couldn't cook that up for myself. I couldn't do it. You can't cook up the presence of God. You can't cook up an experience like that and know it's real. But that's what made God real to me. It was my heart, deep level. Anyway, after 15 years of following, coming back to about 1994, I'd been serving in ministry for about 5 years at this point. And I'd had, for about the year leading up to that, I'd had a viral pneumonia, and nothing was treating it. You know, a chest, your lungs literally have some fluid in there. And you know, it won't go into the details, but nothing was moving that. And I kept on ministering. I kept on ministering, had two young children at home, there was Jenny there. I kept ministering. Because, you know, I didn't know anything about burnout. But as I started to recover from it, I actually went through essentially post-viral fatigue syndrome, which was a sort of burnout. It really burnt me out, and I felt so ill, I was really so ill, that I actually had to spend all of my time either laying in bed or sitting in a chair. I felt completely depressed. I couldn't feel this reality of God that somehow kept on breaking into my life. I felt absolutely desolate. I thought, where are you, God? Absolutely. That is the truth. I thought, where are you, God? And so Jenny's parents, Elizabeth, I think, was about 2.5 years old here, and Tim was about 1 year old at the time. Jenny's parents said, well, look, you know, you better come and live with us for a little while, because I had to stop working. I'd completely burnt out here. So we went for about 2 months there, and they helped Jenny with the children because I was so ill. And, you know, there was just nothing in me at that time. I don't know, I felt I had to share this today, so I'm not sure where people are in their journeys today here, but I felt nothing within me at that time which I'd found to be normal in my Christian walk up to that point, because I was so burnt out. And I couldn't even really think properly. When you at that level of being burnt out, there are things that break down and your body just doesn't work in the way you think it should. So my doctor said, well, you just need a good rest. And here's some tablets, they might help you. Well, there you go. Maybe they did. But I remember it was after about a week of staying with Jenny on Sunday evening at the parents' house. We all have sort of family traditions, don't we? You know, they have a family tradition. The family tradition in Jenny's house with their parents, which I love actually, it's wonderful, is that we'll have sort of like an evening early tea. You know, we've done it for years when we've gone there. No TV on, nothing else on. We just sit down and we talk and, you know, share life together. Wonderful Christian parents, my wife's parents. And the thing is, the rules are you don't put the telly on and let that, you know, take over the conversation. Let's be real together. Let's share life together. Well, anyway, on this day, I was sitting there feeling completely and utterly in all the ways that I'm talking about. And I just felt, what's the point, Lord? I just completely feel at the end of things at the moment. And what happened was that I didn't feel it. It was just like this little voice said in my head, turn the television on now. So I said to Jenny, can you turn the TV on? She said, no, we don't put the telly on, Andy, the TV on. You know that. And I said, but please, it took quite a lot of energy because I wasn't feeling well. I insisted several times. And so the TV went on. They weren't very pleased with me, probably. But, you know, as that television went on, I'm telling you the absolute truth, this is what happened. It was Songs of Praise. We don't usually watch that. I don't even know if it was called that back then, but that's what it's called now, which is a religious program with Christian music, and sometimes you hear a, For those who don't know, there might be some Christian message there as well. And as soon as that television went on, there was a man giving a very short talk, and he shared the story of a young woman whose story matched mine in almost every detail at that moment when it went on, you know. And as he ended sharing her story of how she felt desolate, how she felt that things were no longer, yet that God was, didn't feel real anymore, felt utterly depressed and all of those things, then it was like he looked from the TV. It was one of the most amazing experiences. And it was like his eyes made contact. He said, there is someone else out there. He said, and I sense God saying to you, you will recover, but you've got to give yourself time to recover. You've got to learn from what's been happening to you. It took about 6 months for this young lady. You know, that came out in the story. And it's going to take about the same for you. And that's how long it took for me. It was, that happened. God spoke. I mean, it, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. And do you know what? I didn't feel better immediately afterwards. God didn't start making, I didn't start feeling wonderful. But 6 months on the journey of staying and following, the Lord brought me back out of it and I was healed. And that was amazing. That is the call to discipleship. The call to discipleship, I think, is about a God who reaches down right to where we are, even the really low places sometimes, or higher places, wherever we are in our journey, and this great God of ours is able to meet us in our context. And that made an incredible impact on my life. I know for a fact that I was not in control of anything that was going on there. In fact, I felt completely out of control of it. I didn't feel... God broke in, the real living God. Jesus broke in. The call to discipleship means that we have to let go and let God. We have to let go of some of the things, the passions in our hearts and the things in our lives that get in the way. And if you're anything like me, things get in the way. So it's a journey, and I'm having to keep on listening. And you know, the wonderful thing about this faithful God we're talking about, today, if you hear his voice, Holy Spirit, do not harden your hearts. But instead say, Lord, can you help me? Because, you know, sometimes there are times in our lives, and I've sensed this is something I really have to say today. I really feel this is important to say this today. Sometimes we feel, I'm not sure I can really carry on doing this, Lord. I'm not sure if I want to. Then the Lord can even reach into the don't want to moments. And I've learned that despite what I might feel, if I say, Lord, I give you permission, like when I came to faith, to change me, change my heart, then the miracle happens again. Maybe not like magic, but it does happen. God does change us because God is real. The call to discipleship, a call to follow, a call to let go, a call of a God that meets us in the real situation. The gospel is to follow the living Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the reality. Jesus is the one that reveals himself. Jesus is not an idea or an ideology. Some have made him into an ideology. You know, Christendom did. The church that was traditionized within Europe did. And the issue with that was that it all became about following a tradition. We've got to go beyond that, guys. I have to go beyond that. I'm absolutely sure of that. There became the God of theology. And I'm a theologian. But you know what? I have to keep reminding myself that anything I know is useless if I don't have Christ. And I count it all rubbish. The Apostle Paul said that. I really do. I have to keep doing that. I have to count the things in my life that are somehow putting other things first. rather than Jesus. I have learnt that they are rubbish in the sense that Paul said, I count them like refuse, he said, like rubbish, compared to the excellence of the one that he followed, of his Lord. It's not to say that knowledge is wrong. It's not to say we can't learn good things. But I'm saying that what's in our heart matters before what's up here. And I think that is really important for us to reflect on. So Jesus, this is what I wanted to say today. The call to discipleship is a call to a real relationship that goes deeper than the surface. It goes to the depths of my heart. It starts where we are on our journey. So where are you in your journey today? Where am I? And I'm going to end with the question I began with from Keith last week. Those three sort of ways that I did it. What is it that's stopping you from following Jesus? What is it that might be stopping you from following him, maybe in that deeper sense, or in a sense that something's stalled? It's not like the Lord's left you. It's not like that's happened. But it's like, what's stalling the relationship from me going deeper? In other words, today, what is the Lord saying to each of our hearts? The Holy Spirit says, the Spirit of Jesus says, the Spirit of our Father in heaven, I believe, says through Scripture to us, it's very scriptural, calls out to us and says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So let's do some listening, reflecting, and think about what it really means to follow the one who is the gospel, Jesus. And to have that deeper relationship with him. And I know I'm talking to people with all sorts of different levels of depth and whatever it might be. It's really meant to be an encouragement to say the Lord is faithful. The Lord doesn't seek to beat us up, but he seeks to empower us and encourage us. But encouragement sometimes means some painful surgery. Heart surgery. So may the Lord bless you. Be with you. May you help each of us to grow. God bless you all.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.